Welcome to Slay, the podcast where we dive into all aspects of female health, fitness and life. I'm your host Louise Hazel, and in today's episode we're going to be exploring the importance of meal prepping. In the hustle and bustle of modern life, finding time to prepare healthy and nutritious meals can often feel like a daunting task. However, meal prepping could be the ultimate solution for busy individuals looking to streamline their cooking process, save time and nourish their bodies with wholesome foods. So whether you're a busy professional, a student on the go, or a parent juggling multiple responsibilities, if you're already feeling overwhelmed and the last thing that you want to do is cook, then this episode is for you. Get ready to revolutionize your approach to cooking, to simplify your mealtime routine and reclaim precious time for the things that matter the most. Let's dive into the world of meal prepping and discover the transformative power it holds for our everyday lives. Here with me today to prove that it's an absolute game changer and time-saving technique that could be the key to unlocking your body goals and improving your overall well-being is my good friend and celebrity chef to the stars. It's founder of Getaway Plate, Kiki Canuto. Kiki! Welcome back to Slay Gym. It's been so long.
It has. It's been a minute. I'm so happy to be here.
It's been too long. The last time we saw each other, it was Super Bowl Sunday. We were stuffing our faces with, I think, a plethora of like mini treats and discussing all things meal prep and how to kind of change the world and the way that people eat. What have you been up to since then?
I've still been meal prepping and doing all the things related to food and just truly enjoying it. I've been meal prepping for different clients, doing dinner parties, all sorts of wellness retreats. It's been quite the journey for me with all things food, but I just love it. I love getting to cook every day.
You absolutely do. Now, I remember back when we first met. First and foremost, you know, you're super fit, super healthy. You also have a list of clients as long as your arm, Justin Bieber. You've cooked for Kylie Jenner, Sofia Vergara. Like, you're obviously operating at such a high level yourself, you know what I mean, and in the kitchen. But I think the question that I really have to ask is, like, when you have somebody who, you know, has such a busy diary, like these clients, what is it that you feel that you provide for them by way of meal prep that kind of changes their lives?
I think it really just gives people their time back. Mm. Food can be so time-consuming to have to source the ingredients, think of what you're even going to eat that day, let alone that night. And I kind of give people their time back by doing all of the prep work ahead of time, doing the thinking for them, and then actually preparing those dishes. So it's really the gift of time, and there's nothing more valuable than that.
Mm. And where did your love for cooking come from? Was it something that came from your family? Like, has it always been there?
Yeah, it's definitely been something that's rooted in me since I just grew up as a kid, cooking around my mom, my grandmother, my dad. Like, I was literally next to him at the grill, be watching him like grilling lamb. Like, how are you doing it? What are you putting in there? Just kind of like always at their feet. And ever since then, I just kept cooking and learning. And even through middle school, I would pretend I was Rachel Ray. I'd be in my kitchen at home, this little kid just kind of doing her thing, watching Rachel Ray on television and pretending I was her and had my own audience in my imaginary kitchen. It was just so fun, but I just always connected to that sense of joy that food brought me, and that was through cooking.
Would you say that there's a specific like sense of flavor or spices that you kind of bring into your cooking, or is it quite versatile depending on the client's needs?
You know, I really like to keep it super seasonal, really local and simple when it comes to flavor. I like to say I'm a salt and pepper girl because I really feel like if you're cooking with the produce that's in season and that's sourced locally, you can just add a little bit of salt and pepper, heat, you're good.
Like, I wish it was that easy.
Yeah, but it can be. That's the thing. Like, food doesn't have to be super complicated and intense with this whole, you know, larder of spices added to everything. It can just be salt and pepper, throw it on the grill or saute it in a pan, and it can be just as delicious as if you were to manipulate it in 10 different ways.
Okay, so if I had like my larder, my pantry, I had like five, I literally have only space. I'm a minimalist. Imagine I live in like a tiny house. I've got space for like five spices. Like, what five spices, condiments, whatever it be, what products would they be? What can I not live without?
Okay. Are we thinking just dry? Can we include like olive oil, like vinegar?
Okay, let's say olive oil, salt, and pepper are out. That's just basic. You know what I mean?
Oh gosh, you're challenging me here. Okay. I would definitely say you need some garlic powder or onion powder, because that's just kind of essential. And then I'll challenge you with the salt. You do need some Maldon salt, the flaky salt. Okay. So nothing too crazy. Just have the beautiful.
Why the Maldon?
Maldon, I think it just adds a little bit of texture. Uh-huh. Because they're big like flakes of salt. And they just add a little bit of a pop. So it's not just like regular table salt.
You've got me thinking about good chocolate cookies always have a little bit of Maldon salt.
Exactly.
And you always remember a chocolate cookie for the fact that it has that little salt on the top. Just
right?
Like little crust. God, you've got me.
So you need the Maldon salt in there. So what, that's two. How are you really going to take me out with the olive oil? That makes me a little bit bummed. Okay. What's really delicious? This brand called Costarina.
Yeah.
They make this crushed tangerine vinegar that is absolutely delicious. Throw it on any salad, fresh greens, arugula. Just, you don't even need a lot. Salt, you could use the salt, the pepper, the olive oil, and a little bit of that vinegar.
Boom. Tell us that. Okay, right. You have to send me the link so I can put it in this episode.
Yes.
So we've got the Maldon salt, the tangerine vinegar. Mm-hmm. What else have we got? Give them the dry ones.
We did the garlic powder
garlic
situation.
Two more.
I love turmeric. I really love turmeric for its anti-inflammatory properties, the color it gives things, and it gives a little like warmth to dishes, whether it's, I don't know, like a chicken curry dish, or even just some rice, throw that in there. Oh, and then my last thing, ghee. I love ghee.
You cook with ghee.
I love ghee.
Oh, I love that. We've got a health freak on our hands, guys. I'm with you on the turmeric, as you say in the UK, because I use curcumin capsules every single day, and it really helps my gut health, so I'm here for that. Okay, so we've got those five. I'm putting them in this episode so everyone can remember. So when the clients come to you, do you feel like they come with a kind of very simple, like, is everybody asking for the same thing? Like, what's the number one thing that they're asking for when they kind of employ a chef? Are they asking for nutritious meals? Are they looking for weight loss? Like, what is the most common request that you get?
Well, I think people want to find a happy medium of food that connects to them, either brings them some sort of comfort or connects to a memory that they have. And then they also just want to feel good eating it. So I find a way of striking that balance between comfort food and making it healthy. So that way it's digestible, it's not going to make you feel like crap the next day. So that's kind of my sweet spot.
Okay, so give me an example. If I wanted to have like a burger and fries, how are you going to put like a nice healthy twist on that for me?
Ooh, okay, well, I'm definitely going to go to the butcher and get you some fresh ground, you know, whether it's like Wagyu or whatever type of burger you want to have. So I'll get the meat fresh, and then instead of using some sort of just store-bought bread, we could do a local hamburger bun, or we could even lettuce wrap it. I love a lettuce wrap moment. Mm-hmm. Shout out to Viv Lettuce. So we could lettuce wrap it for sure, and then instead of like a regular french fry, just bake some really great Japanese yams that are fresh from the market. They're literally like nature's candy.
Oh god,
they're so delicious.
I'm literally gagging right now. I'm really just, I'm picturing this burger like on my plate as we speak. So what happens if a client has a ton of dietary restrictions? Like what happens in that case? You know, is that something that you kind of work around? Like, have you ever kind of cooked for someone that just has a list of long in their arms with regards to, like, you know, restrictions? How challenging can that be?
Yeah, it can be a little bit of a challenge, but hey, I'm here for the challenges. It allows me to learn more about food and what I can do to manipulate certain ingredients and how I can create outside of the box. So if someone has some sort of gut issue and they can't have gluten, I just find a way to make that thing extremely friendly to their diet without the gluten. Mm-hmm. So it's actually a little bit of an adventure for me, and I take that as an opportunity to create and kind of just surprise them.
Yeah. Now look, a lot of us can't afford chefs, let's face it. But if I'm at home, you know, trying to kind of like do my best in the kitchen. What's one practical strategy that I need to master to make life easier on myself?
I think giving yourself a dedicated time slot during the week to do all things food. So whether it's just taking an hour to kind of sit down, look online, Google what you want to eat for the week, think about where you're going to shop, all those ingredients. I love using Instacart to get my groceries. So it makes everything so just effortless for me.
I haven't used Instacart yet.
You gotta, it's a huge time saver for me. When it comes to like simple things that you're constantly refilling in your house, like different almond milks or nuts or seeds, you just go on there, order all of your groceries, and that cuts half of the time and the stress of meal prepping. You have all your groceries being shopped, and then you're just creating an environment to actually meal prep and do all the cooking. And I have a whole ritual that I do for that.
To make it intrigued, are there any batch cooking techniques that people need to know about?
I would say when it comes to big meal preps, you just have to kind of think of ingredients that kind of fall in line with one another. So if, say you want to do different types of meats for the week, maybe you just do, I don't know, let's say chicken and beef. Those are your two big proteins. So focus on dishes that are going to be simple. It could be, you know, certain ingredients can be used for something else. So if I got peppers, I can maybe make a curry with that, or then I can also do a stir fry. So it's thinking about recipes that use similar ingredients, so that way it just is super, super simple to get the meal prep done, and you're not stressing about 18 different recipes that require 46 different ingredients, and then you're like, I don't know where to start.
Got you. I feel like online, like, we're constantly trying to increase our productivity. And a lot of the time I see these kind of really complex shopping lists, and I'm like, there's 150 ingredients on here. Like, should we just be simplifying it down to, like, because this is one of the things that I've literally just been doing recently, is I've literally been kind of simplifying what's in my fridge down to about 8 things. That sounds like, producer Alex is over there looking at me with, like, shrewd library. I'm like, what are you talking about there? I'm like, no, I literally, you know, choose 2 proteins, chicken and perhaps salmon, maybe, like, 2 greens, maybe it's, like, cucumbers and arugula, and I just keep it really tight, and I might have 2 carbs. I'll have like rice and mashed potato. Am I crazy?
You're not crazy at all. I don't think we need to be super complicated. And when you're looking at all of these recipes with, like you said, the dozens of ingredients, it makes you less likely to even want to cook the thing and be inspired to sit in your kitchen for that long and get all the ingredients, and then those ingredients just sit and kind of rot away in your kitchen. So it's
so true.
It can be super simple.
One of the things I've noticed in our household, and Eric will back me up on this, there's a lot less wastage. So we've kind of gotten used to just buying what we need. So sometimes that, and let me, I'm holding my hands up, I'm your perfect client, because I don't want to cook. It's not that I can't cook. I cook at Christmas, that is it. Eric will tell you, I cook one day a year. I'll cook a roast dinner, and that'll be it. I don't even bother with like birthday cakes. When it comes to Thanksgiving, I go to Republic, which is a lovely French patisserie in town, and I go and buy an apple pie, and everybody wants to eat the pumpkin pie because that's traditional, but they all come and get the apple pie because it tastes so good. I'm not going to try, Exactly. That's what I bring to the table, the apple pie. But with all of this wastage, and I think we can all kind of attest to the fact that a lot of the time, you know, you'll do your weekly shop, and then there will always be a bag of greens that never gets used and just gets tossed out in the trash.
There's always that one.
Like, how can we be avoiding wastage, and how can we be better storing our food so that it doesn't go to waste?
Well, definitely, I think you have to take the time to know how to properly store all these ingredients, whether they're herbs or potatoes, onions, all these different ingredients. Take a second to kind of just understand how those things are deserve to be stored.
Okay, I'm going to quiz you. I'm going to say a food type, and then you're going to tell me how to store it. Potatoes.
Dark, cool place, dry.
Onions.
Dark, cool place, dry, away from the potato.
What if they're already chopped?
In the fridge, but don't keep them for too long.
How long?
I would say max 2 days.
Oh, okay. I probably keep mine with it. Mine starts stewing, you know, when the bag starts to fill with that weird gas.
Okay.
I'm sorry. greens, like let's say arugula, like lettuce,
in a airtight container, preferably like a Ziploc bag, with a just damp paper towel.
Oh,
not soaked, just damp.
What does the damp paper towel do for us, Kiki?
It just keeps him hydrated because the refrigerator acts like a pretty much like a dryer. So anything that goes into a refrigerator pretty much just gets dried. So you want to keep your greens moist.
Look at my face. I had no idea.
You had no idea.
I was today years old when I found it. That's some amazing.
Yes, that's why that's why your arugula gets sad real quick. She gets real sad if she's not.
And crispy.
Mm-hmm.
Bananas.
Dry. We want a little bit of darkness, preferably in like a bag if you really want to ripen them up a little bit quicker.
Because I've been storing mine in the fridge and they go brown on the outside, but they stay good on the inside.
When are you putting them in the fridge right when you get them?
Immediately. Is that weird?
I've never done that, so we'll have to look into
it. Try this week, feedback to us. And then when it comes to, you talked about ziplocking there, but when it comes to that food storage, so different types of containers, but if we're going like balls to the wall, I want to look after my health, heard this really interesting piece from Dr. Mark Hyman this week on microplastics and the fact that they're finding more and more microplastics in people's systems, especially those people that have suffered from heart attacks. And so he was talking about the foods that we consume, the way that they are stored, bottled plastics as opposed to like glasses, the things that we can be doing to reduce the microplastics in our diet. What are the things that we should be doing by way of food storage to make sure that we're protecting our systems and ingesting less toxins?
I would definitely say replace all of your plastic Tupperware, anything like that, replace them with all glass Tupperware. I think that's kind of the number one easiest way to kind of start that process. I would also say not even using those plastic bags that you get at the store to put your vegetables in.
Yeah.
Either bring some sort of paper bag from home or just pick that bundle of spinach from the shelf, put it into your cart, wash it when you get home, and then store it properly in some paper towel. You know, you can kind of skip that whole plastic process in the journey home. So I would kind of start off with those two ways.
Why do I really, really want you to come and have a look at my fridge?
I want to go to everyone's fridge. I can't even tell you. Like, people's kitchens are really exciting. Like,
I could tell
so much about someone in their kitchen.
Oh, good really God. Do. Oh, don't touch me. Will you promise to come to my home and have a look at my empty fridge?
Yes.
It was 90 seconds.
I'm sure I'll find the chicken sandwich.
What do you do to tailor your meals to suit your kind of client's needs, Kiki? Like, if there's, you know, someone who perhaps is like, okay, you know, I've got this health and fitness goal. I want to bulk up this year. Like, what are you doing to, like, you know, make sure that they're getting an adequate amount of nutrition?
I really like to see if they're working with some sort of a fitness trainer first, because I think that's kind of a really good contact person to figure out what their macros are, what are their fitness goals overall. And then from there, I can kind of help my clients shape out their diet. What does it look like? How much protein are we eating a day? How many carbs do we need to be eating? So I find that working with trainers is a really good source for me to build up my menus and help my clients.
And what about making the meals that you prepare nutritious and like satisfying? Like, do you already know, like, oh, that will fill someone up, this isn't going to quite do it, I need to add some additional X, Y, or Z. Like, you know, when it comes to, like, that satisfaction, someone feeling like, oh, I've had enough, you know?
Yeah. I mean, I think portion control and just size overall can kind of be my favorite gauge. It's like, okay, how much salad am I putting on the plate? Are they eating a salad and an entree? Or is it just the entree? I kind of just, like, gauge it. I'm a very intuitive chef, so I kind of take a second to learn my clients. What are their tendencies? Are they snackers throughout the day? Or are they just kind of, you know, do they come home and eat that one big meal?
Yeah.
So it takes a second to kind of learn them.
Have you ever overserved or underserved somebody? Like, which one?
I've done the overserving. And it's more so, but I feel like that happens more so when I do, if it's like a dinner party or if they have some guests and, you know, they're all tending to eat healthy, but there just might be a little bit too much, but I have my mom's hand when it comes to cooking, so.
And what's your mom's hand say? More is more.
Yeah, it's just more is more. And it's like, oh, you're not hungry? Well, you should eat. So that's what it is.
I love it. Are there any ingredients or meal components that you often incorporate into people's or your clients' plans for optimal health and energy? We talked about turmeric being, you know, a spice that you love to use. Is there anything else like superfoods that you, you know, really lean on, or any other ingredients?
Well, I love if they are smoothie drinkers or any sort of like fruit kind of fans. I love including just different types of berries. They're just super high in antioxidants, and including some sort of flax meal or hemp seed as, you know, a good protein source or fiber source. So just kind of sneaking in little things like that. And even with baking, if I'm baking muffins, you know, they can have a lot of different shredded vegetables inside of them. They can still have a little bit of sweetness, whether it's with monk fruit or applesauce, but they're all kind of just like tucked away, but then it's like, here are your veggies too.
Got you. Eric always says, hide the medicine in with the applesauce. I feel like that's an Americanism. Yeah. So that you're kind of like hiding the muffin in with the carrot in the muffin with the applesauce.
Yeah, I think it's kind of what I'm doing when someone has a hard time having too many or having any vegetables at all in their diet, or if they really, really love sugar, but it's like, hey, we're not gonna use sugar, we're gonna use applesauce or some other natural sweetener.
I was gonna say, how do you stay informed with like the latest kind of updates in nutrition and the products that are coming in and coming out? Because I feel like every single year there's something, you know, new comes out about, you know, like zero calorie sugars, you know, fat, so on and so forth.
Yeah, we're like constantly inundated with new information that's coming out. And I feel like just the whole health system, it's just filled with new information so frequently that it is hard to keep up, quite frankly. But I love listening to different podcasts. Mark Hyman, I love his podcast. Mm-hmm. There's also a really great one called Well Now. Mm-hmm. It's off of Slate Podcasts, and that's also a whole great resource for learning about health. So just kind of finding different podcasts that I really gravitate towards, and just seeing what these different nutritionists and healthcare experts are talking about.
What do you say to those people who perhaps have been considering, like myself, getting a chef, don't tell Eric, and haven't yet made the jump? To those people who are like, okay, I've been thinking about it, and I'm thinking, you know, I want to invest in the service for myself, for my family. What do you say to those people?
Well, I think you said it best. It's an investment. People have to really look at it as an investment. They have to shape their mindset into thinking that this is not something that is a cost that I'm just going to throw money at it and I'm not going to get anything back from it. It's going to give you everything back. It's going to give you your time. It's going to give you your health. It's going to give you more time with your family or to work on a business that you really want to work on. When your nutrition is just really in check and if everything's on point, you can achieve so many different things in your life. You can wake up happier, you can go to bed even happier. There's just so many things that I think meal prep gives people, and they have to really just think about it as an investment in themselves.
What are the changes that you've seen in the people that you've worked with?
I think it's just a lot of consistent choices that people make to not eat the wrong thing, right? If that makes sense. Mm-hmm. They know that they have a great meal that's nutritiously balanced and healthy and tastes good waiting for them. So they're going to make better life choices in their day-to-day.
Got you. So as opposed to perhaps on the way back from work or whatever, grabbing like the quick, convenient fast foods, what can we be doing on our plates to avoid making those decisions? Like, are there things that we can be incorporating on our plate on a daily basis that basically helps us to make better decisions when it comes? You know, when you're hangry and you're on the way home and you're like, oh, just stop and quick grab this quick snack. Like, is there something that we can be putting on our plates to kind of stave off those convenience foods?
Yeah, I think it's really about incorporating a lot of high protein snacks throughout your day. So whether that's making a really great smoothie in the morning that has a lot of protein and maybe some fiber to kind of keep you full and satiated throughout the day. That's perfect. You could have some sort of a
you know, people love jerky, or if that's your thing, go for it. Jerky's not my thing, but like if you want to grab a jerky stick, go grab a jerky stick. Or just pack a really great salad that has, you know, maybe some grilled chicken or fresh salmon in there. And it has just a bunch of greens that are going to keep you full and, you know, satiated just for the rest of the day.
How important would you say protein is in building a healthy and balanced diet?
I think it's extremely important, especially if you're someone that's wanting to build muscle and kind of keep on track with your fitness goals. It's one of the building blocks to muscle. So incorporating that into your diet is crucial.
And when we're talking about, you mentioned sourcing earlier, you talked about like going to the butcher.
It's my favorite part.
I know, and I noticed that you have this like discount code for this amazing butcher. They look like they have amazing steaks. I'll be checking that out. How do you prioritize like ethical sourcing and sustainability when it comes to the food? We've spoken about ways in which you'll maneuver around local markets and things like that. Tell everyone about your kind of process when it comes to hunting for the best quality.
Yeah, I just generally love the farmer's market and sourcing at local markets if possible. So that means going to one of the farmers markets here in LA on either a Sunday or a Saturday, or even during the middle of the week in Santa Monica on Wednesdays.
Yeah. What markets are you going to?
So Wednesdays, there's the Santa Monica Farmers Market. Sunday, there's the Brentwood Farmers Market. There's also Hollywood right around the corner. Mm-hmm. So those are kind of the staple ones. And then when it comes to meats, I love McCall's Butcher right on Montana Ave in Santa Monica. Mm-hmm. So I get a lot of my meats and fish from them. But kind of just keeping things local. And then when I need more of those basic ingredients that kind of are always flying off my shelves, I just Instacart it to the house so that way I can spend time exploring new markets and, you know, new purveyors that I really like.
And what about your own diet? Talk me through the type of things that you're likely to eat in the day. Do you kind of stick to a regime? Do you kind of, you said you know, you're very intuitive when it comes to food. So is it very much an emotional thing or?
Yeah, I like to say food is a mood. And I say the same thing to clients. I'm like, what's your mood? Like, you just tell me what you're in the mood for and then I'll make it. Because I think every single day deserves to be treated as a whole new day. So if the sun's out and like I'm, you know, my skin's feeling like really, really glowy, it's like, oh, maybe I'm just like craving a salad today and I want to kind of bask in that little salad moment. Or if it's super gloomy and rainy out, I'm like, ooh, I want something that's a little bit more warming to my soul. So I kind of just let the day tell me what to make. But as far as my own routine goes, I'm kind of boring. I'm a little bit boring. I kind of have a routine because I'm also on my own fitness journey where I eat the same thing for breakfast pretty much. And it's just a high protein berry smoothie. So it's just like frozen raspberries, some ice, my favorite protein powder, Promix. Mm-hmm. I love Promix, the chocolate flavor is amazing. So I have that, and then I'll have like two eggs fried over easy with like a piece of sourdough and then maybe some mashed avocado tossed with like arugula and salt and pepper. Something. I'm just so basic when it comes to breakfast. Because then all day long when I'm cooking, I'm just like, I'm a little snacker.
What about lunch? What does lunch look like?
Lunch, I love anything in a bowl. So if it can go into the bowl, it's going to be my lunch. So that could just be any sort of protein, whether it's oven baked salmon or a grilled piece of chicken. And then I just saute some veggies, so like zucchini, kale. I'll toss in some sauerkraut at the end and then maybe some more fresh avocado because your girl loves avocado. And then that's lunch.
Talk to me about dinner.
Dinner can be a toss-up sometimes because I'm like, am I hungry? Am I not? Am I going to get another protein shake in? I don't know. But usually I'll have some sort of like a rice moment with dinner because I just grew up on rice. So it's rice with another protein and like veggies. But I'm pretty simple.
I'm loving this like day of eating. Like I'm hearing three proteins, I'm hearing like balance, I'm hearing carbohydrates, fats. I'm like, yes, we got macronutrients, micronutrients, we got all the things, we've got a little bit of raspberry in there. This sounds delicious. I feel like in the gym, let's say in particular, we're constantly educating women as to the fact that we're undernourishing by way of protein. And like you said, you know, the most important macronutrient of all helps us with our recovery, you know, is the thing that keeps our body mass nice and lean. A lot of us are, you know, struggling with our body goals and stuff like that, but could be easily, you know, fixing a lot of those problems with the things that we eat on a daily basis. Now, based on the fact that so many of us have body goals, you know, things that we want to achieve, do you ever feel like food should be restrictive?
I think when it's in alignment with your goals, yes, food should be a little bit restrictive. So maybe even if you're an ice cream fan, which I am,
yeah,
I'm not going to eat it every night anymore. You know, maybe the once in a blue moon treat or once a week, cool, I'm going to have it. And when I have it, I'm going to indulge and I'm going to love it. And I'm not going to feel guilty or shame myself for eating it. But I just don't want to make that a habit. Mm-hmm. So I really think it's about just finding those things that you really love to have, eating them in moderation, and keep it moving.
So, Kiki, what happens when, let's say you've got your celebrity client, you've also perhaps got your nutritionist or trainer in the middle, and the celebrity client says, this is my goal, I want to lose 20 pounds, and the trainer says, right, here are the macronutrients, let's cook something that really works, so on and so forth. But the client comes back and is like, can I just get some ice cream? Like, what are you doing in that situation? You're torn, no? Between the macronutrients and what the trainer is saying, and then, you know, what the client wants, and who are you really serving? Are you serving the trainer? Are you serving the client? Like, how do you navigate a situation like that?
It's such a tough line to battle, and I've battled it many times. But, you know, at the end of the day, I am here to make my clients happy. So it's like, I have to find a way to please both people, mm-hmm. but I am going to lean on the side of what the client's wanting. So if that's what they're asking for, I'm going to have to find a way to give it to them.
Got
you. Yeah. So that's, it's unfortunate, but yeah.
Brutal, says the trainer. Just dying.
But for the most part, when there are clients who are on really, really strict, diets, I just have to keep in mind that my job is to serve their higher purpose, which is getting to their better shape, mm-hmm. and not always leaning into their, you know, every single request. Maybe every now and then, but I don't wanna like stop any of their progress.
When you find like people are like really struggling, if they're like on a, you know, in that place where they're on a perhaps a restricted diet or a strict diet, what do you find that they're craving? Is there one thing in particular? Is it sweet, savory? Does it vary person to person?
It does vary. Some people are like, I want just loaded French fries mm-hmm. and burgers every day. Mm-hmm. And then there's some people that just crave sweets. Mm-hmm. So it really just varies from client to client, but everyone has their one vice.
You're looking at me, I think mine's fries.
I saw.
When you start
okay,
well,
what's like a fry? What type of fry are you talking?
I'll take skinny. Well, anything you got. Is it fried? Is it potato? Is it fried? I'll take it. Does it have mold and salt on? That's fine.
Yes.
Bag me up some of those.
I do love a good, you know who has a good French fry?
No, don't tell me.
Oh, have you been to ZK?
Yes.
I love their French fries. They're steak frites. Put that plate of fries in front of me any day, and I don't care if I'm bulking or cutting, I'm eating them.
You know you're going to find me there in the weekend. I love it. Kiki, we're going to close out with a little game called Eat It or Beat It.
Okay.
So, eat it means, yeah, I'm all about that ingredient. Beat it, no, it's got to go. It's not in my pantry. Ready?
Yep.
3, 2, 1. Pickles.
Eat it.
I'm with you. Celery.
Beat it.
Woo! Meatloaf.
Oh, beat it.
Really?
No!
Me and Eric have been cooking this turkey meat, and honestly, it's been too long already. It's been a good 3 weeks. Okay, meatloaf's out. Cilantro, for those British users, coriander.
Eat it.
You do?
I love it. I'm not a soapy cilantro.
I'm not sure we can be friends.
Okay.
Runny eggs.
Yay!
Oh!
I love it!
Oh my goodness. Oh, I thought we could hang. Okay, this is a real divisive one in this stage.
Okay.
Angel hair pasta.
I'm just, no, that's a beat it. That's
beat
a beat it for
it. Okay, Eric will be happy.
Yeah.
We have this common thread in the gym. We talk about pasta noodles. First of all, in my mind, no pasta is a noodle. Pasta is pasta, but whatever. We basically play this game of most overrated pasta. So I'm gonna pause this game to get your answer. Most overrated pasta.
Like there's just you just want the shape of it.
Yeah.
Oh my goodness. I think rigatoni is pretty overrated.
Ooh, controversial.
Yeah, that one's gonna.
Okay, so that's to eat it or beat it. Somebody said the shells, and I'm like, no, the shells are fun.
Oh wait, I feel like I want to take back my answer. I think elbows. I don't like elbows.
What are elbows?
They look like a smiley face, like a elbow. Yeah. I don't know why I'm doing this.
I don't know what that is.
I'm going to show you the picture.
Yes, please. Okay, back to eat it or beat it. Burnt toast.
Beat it.
Do people like burnt toast?
Is that a thing that people enjoy?
I don't know. I feel like some people like their toast really too overcooked.
Okay, if we're talking like a fresh sourdough loaf, we can eat it. But if it's like a piece of just wheat bread burnt, we're going to beat it. Yeah.
Okay, raw onions.
Oh, eat it.
Oh, cheeky.
That's actually one of my pet peeves when clients can't have onions.
Raw onion is a garnish. I feel like it's not to be introduced to any food. Why would you put a raw onion on a food?
You wouldn't? Like tacos? No. LA street tacos?
No, not doing it. Not doing it.
All right.
I'm so sorry. We're going to be going out to eat opposite places.
Okay.
Mushrooms.
Oh, eat it. I love mushrooms.
I love mushroom soup, can't eat mushrooms raw or cooked for that matter, but I can have it in soup. Quinoa.
Is there like a middle ground? Because it's like eh to me.
It is, isn't it? Because you can't really, can you marinate it? Like you can add additional ingredients, but yeah. Can you do to make it taste better than what?
You could cook it in chicken broth or some sort of a stock, add herbs, and then once it's cooked, toss it with some. It's not my favorite.
It's such a shame, isn't
yeah.
it? There are other things. What could you have instead of quinoa?
Instead of quinoa? I mean, I'm just a rice girl. Yeah, literally.
Yeah.
Just eat the rice, honey.
I love it. Kiki, thank you for joining us on the Slay podcast. You're prepping for the summer, dinner parties. Tell us where we can find you, where you're at.
You can find me on Instagram. My handle is @getaway_plate, and then my website is www.getawayplate.com.
Thank you, Kiki, for joining us.
Thank you for having me.
In summary, I remember a quote once that said, "Think of your health as an investment, not an expense." That concludes this episode of Slay. Stay tuned for more empowering discussions of female health, fitness, and life. You can follow me at Louise Hazel on social media, and you can follow Kiki at @getaway_plate. And if you're interested in her services, she's taking on clients for this summer right now. So get in before she books up. You can check out the Slay brand at Slay Athletic. And don't forget to subscribe to the Slay podcast if you haven't done so already on Spotify and leave us a review. You can also get all of the tools and resources that we mentioned in our podcast on the Slay app. Download it now for free from the App Store and join our online community.